it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Mornings on SEN.
200 to go. Vow and declare led Persan, then Lunsies. Vow and declare the 2019 Cup winner, led a length Persan Lunsies. And Vow and declare turns back the clock. Vow and declare won the Zipping Classic, a length and a quarter Lunsies, and Persan a long gap Dark Dream.
That was Vow and declare winning the Zipping Classic on the weekend. Gareth Hall joins me in
Gareth Hall.
Thank you very much. Why has it been so long between drinks for Vow and declare?
He hasn't won since you got a haircut last, Jules, with that fringe. It's been a long time, about 3 years.
At least I still got it.
Since that Melbourne Cup victory, that's a good point you make. So it was great to see. The Zipping Classic has become basically a horse race that is for the veterans coming towards the back end of their career in a way. It's always an interesting race each and every year, the Zipping Classic, but well done to Vow and declare. He had been knocking on the door a little bit this spring. There were some suggesting that he could win another big one. And I thought he was okay in the Melbourne Cup, but that was his right type of race on Saturday, and he made the most of it. So yeah, well done to all involved.
So what now for Vow and declare?
He'll probably go for a spell and get set for a Sydney Cup. Yeah. So Danny O'Brien's done a good job with him because he had his injury concerns since that Melbourne Cup. So they had to nurse him back at stages. But I don't think there's a big race in him again. But that Zipping Classic was worth, close to $750,000, around that mark anyway. So, yeah, so well done to him. And, good luck to him in the future.
Have we got the Zipping Classic day right, do you think?
I think timing.
It's at Caulfield, obviously.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. We had this discussion on the means test with Johnny O'Neill and Darren McCauley this morning regarding what do you do with the Spring Carnival? Now, I know Jared, who usually sits in your seat at this time, he wants to push it back. But if you push it back, that means you go deeper into the summer. That means the horses in the autumn won't be ready, or they can't get their horses ready for the autumn. And you can't have the Caulfield Cup after the Melbourne Cup because that won't work. And does the VRC move their carnival from the first week in November until the first week in December? I don't think that will happen either. And how many times can people pay to go to the races? I think you can really, there's four big races that they want to go to. Guineas Day, Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, and throughout the carnival, if you can go to 2 days during a Flemington carnival. So it's an interesting debate.
The average punter doesn't really have a problem with the timing of the carnival, do they?
I don't think so. Well, I think they want more coverage regarding, if you want to get on the back pages of the Herald Sun. So would the Caulfield Cup be on the back page of the Herald Sun over Cam Smith today? Don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know.
So it's just an interesting debate to have, but it's a bit like cricket. I think cricket worked out that you can't have your sport in the off season. Like, it didn't work, did it, the World Cup?
No, bad timing.
Yeah, because it's in racing season and cricket season starts in summer.
Mm.
The first test is usually in the middle part of November. So it's a debate that we'll be talking about for every spring, basically.
Why are you here today, by the way? Why aren't you with the Japan Cup? I go on social media last night, just checking through.
Yeah.
John Ralph and Courtney Walsh, you wouldn't know the front end of a horse from a back end of the horse, are at the Japan Cup.
Well, Damien Lane finished third, and he gave his horse a wonderful ride. He had a double at Tokyo on Japan Cup Day. I would have loved to have gone, but you can't be everywhere, Jules, because we've had the Perth Carnival, the Inter-Dominion, the SEN Track Inter-Dominion started on Saturday at Ballarat, and there was some interesting performances there. I still think my tip, Majestic Cruise, is the one to beat in the paces, and Bolt for Brilliance should be winning the Trotters division of the Inter-Dominion. And we had the Melbourne Cup of Greyhound Racing. Yachi Bale, they don't do what he did. He came from last, Jules.
How did that happen?
I didn't think it could happen in a Melbourne Cup. They tell me that you need to lead, but he came from the clouds. So it was great to watch all of the action on racing.com there, and beautifully produced by Raymaker on Saturday night with the Greyhounds. But we've got our dog in the slot, the Sports Entertainment Network.
Emron Boy.
So if Emron Boy wins the Phoenix, that means our Christmas party will be off Out of this world. So, yeah, hopefully he gets the chocolates.
Hey, talk to us about the Winterbottom on the weekend. Yep. That was the standout race of the weekend.
So, Pulalie won for Godolphin. We had James Cummings on the show, and it was a brilliant piece of training by James Cummings. He mentioned on Giddy Up on Friday. Now, it worked with a horse called Kemantari last time he was in WA a few years back. Kemantari was basically going to be retired. But because of the different ways you can train horses in the West, they took Pulalie out to the sticks at Bullsbrook, at Jimmy Taylor's
Where's
place,
Bullsbrook?
Just outside of Perth, about 15 or 20 minutes. And Jimmy Taylor's a great trainer. And they decided to work Pulalie with the emus and kangaroos because I don't think he had the mind on the job as much as he should have in the Manicato and also at Flemington, the champion sprint. So working with the kangaroos and the emus just sparked him up a little bit, inspired him, and he's come from last to first to win a Winterbottom Stakes for Benny Mellum, who continues a really good story of redemption, Benny Mellum. So well under Ben. But, yeah, Pulalie now wins a Group 1, and that just proves he is on the road to greatness, James Cummings, because every move basically he's pulled this spring has been the right move, and it was a big win there on Saturday.
So where to for Pulalie now?
I think he goes to the paddock, but his job's done. It was worth $1.5 million, but it's worth so much more to the Sheik and Godolphin here in this country because he's a stallion proposition now because he's a Group 1 winner. So I think he goes to a break, goes for a break. But I think Godolphin will clean sweep the other races for the Carnival. They'll win with Cascadian on Saturday in the Northerly. He'll defeat Amelia's Jewel, and Valana, who was scratched, was favourite for the Winterbottom on race day morning because he just had a stable mishap, but he's okay. He'll win the Gold Rush in a couple of weeks' time.
How'd the Jericho go? We had Dennis Lilly on the show last week. He was down there, which is always a great asset for any sporting event to get the great DK Lilly there. It's quite a staggering race.
Yeah, it's run over, 4,000 metres? Or 4,600 metres.
You haven't run that far in 12 months.
No. And it's a fascinating race because they've got to go, it's not just on the course proper, they've got to go through uphills and through all the paddocks around the Warrnambool Racecourse. And it was taken out by the New South Wales galloper and Bastida for Johnny Sargent, which is a great story, New Zealand bred galloper. And there's heats around the country. Johnny O'Neill made a really good point this morning on Giddy Up's means test. We should make it $1 million, have heats right across Australasia. And Warrnambool's done a great job hosting it. I think other states should get an opportunity as well to host it and even have it in New Zealand because Bill Gibbons can take a bow. This has been his vision and it's been terrific for racing because it's history in this country that we can't forget. And having events like the Jericho are terrific for it as well. So I think it's been a big winner.
How strong will the Inter-Dominion be this year?
It's only, the Inter-Dominion is not a vintage Inter-Dominion, but it's always a special race. And it doesn't matter how good the horses are competing in it, the storylines that will unfold because they race on Saturday now, Jules, or last Saturday at Ballarat. We've got the heats at Shepparton tomorrow night. Josh Jenkins will be with us there on SEN track. And then we head to Geelong on Saturday night. So they race three times in a week off, and then the final at Melton on Saturday week. So it's a great test of the horses and the drivers and the trainers' ability to keep their horses up, to be kept fresh in the mind. And also it really tests everybody's heart and see if you can survive a series like this.
Just go back to the Melbourne Cup for a second. You mentioned the dog that won came from the clouds.
Yes.
But even a couple of weeks ago, no one would have thought he was going to win this.
I was there doing the coverage there for racing.com for the Melbourne Cup preludes. It was about 100-1 and it was set for the Sale Cup. So the Delbridge family and the Wheeler family just put those greyhounds in because I think Brendan Wheeler told the Delbridge family, just throw them in because they had a few dogs like that. They're on their way to the Sale Cup, which is over the 600 metres, and see how they go. You got to be in it to win it in a way. So they did that, came from the clouds to win about $30, I think, that night to win the prelude of the Melbourne Cup, then won the heat, and then won the final. So it's favourite for the Sale Cup, about $10. I highly recommend you probably get on because it should be winning the Sale Cup after what it did there in the Melbourne Cup. But such an exciting greyhound to come from behind because they don't do that. I dubbed him the Chautauqua Yachi Bale of the greyhound world.
Now, you've mentioned Rainmaker, racing.com, SEN, Giddyup, Giddyup's mean set. Any other sponsors? Geez, Hutchie's got you trained well.
Yeah.
Anyone else we're going to mention before we let you go? You had a coffee from the McCafe out there?
Definitely not the Essendon Football Club. Because I've had a gut full of you talking
about
Essendon.
Hang on.
There's 15 other teams, Jules, you can talk about.
If they are the story, am I not allowed to mention?
Have they got a CEO yet?
They haven't.
Is there any chance they could get a CEO?
Collingwood haven't got one yet.
What about Dave Matthews?
North Melbourne haven't got one yet.
What do you mean, Dave Matthews?
You mean Simon Matthews?
Simon Matthews, yeah. Surely they should sign him up.
Mark Anderson's still in the mix. Carl Delina's in the mix.
Who do you think looks like he's going to go to the Pies. Craig Kelly.
Mm, that's the latest story this morning.
Okay.
He's going to be the Pies CEO. I'm only reporting the news, Gareth. If they're not in the news, I won't talk about them.
It's interesting. All right, then. Looking forward to seeing what the Bombers can do. You probably won't. I don't think you'll make the finals this year.
I don't think we will either.
Yeah, so...
What about your mob? When are they going to win it?
Brisbane.
You've been knocking on the door, but you're not winning anything.
Anyway, Cameron Smith will win the PGA. And I tell you what, Pato...
He just won the PGA.
I mean, the Australian Open. And Portugal will win tomorrow. Get about $1.95 in the World Cup. I've been enjoying that.
Magnificent. Yep. Gareth, great work, and we'll hear you on Giddy Up throughout the week.
All right, then. Who's Dave Barham on tomorrow? Lead the show.
Be on from 10:30 till 12. Yeah. Mornings for Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. Giddy Up with Gareth, not Gary Hall.